BZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle France, and a federal judge blocking the firings at the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, set to go into effect tonight.
After the Trump administration began the process of firing nearly 1,500 CFPB employees, a federal judge ordered a halt to the purge, saying the firings may be a direct violation of a court order. On Friday, a top administration official said the agency would be reduced from about 1,700 employees to only about 200 people, arguing the Consumer Protection Agency could be run more efficiently. Peter Haralambos, ABC News.
Following yesterday's deadly shooting at Florida State University, police and the FBI in Tallahassee are searching for a motive. Two people were killed, six others injured. Police say the suspect was also injured, and so far he's refusing to talk. In Puerto Rico, officials confirm nearly 99% of customers have had that power restored after an outage darkened the island earlier this week. The private power company responsible says the massive outage appears to have been caused by many factors. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has affirmed that Governor Tony Evers has the power to veto individual words, numbers, and punctuation in proposed bills. Republican lawmakers challenged that power after Governor Evers used his partial veto to lock in a school funding increase for the next 400 years in 2023. They have also proposed a constitutional amendment seeking to limit that power. The partial veto increased how much revenue K-12 schools can raise per student by $325 each year until 2425. The Wisconsin State Patrol is sharing safe driving tips in honor of National Distracted Driving Awareness Month. According to a press release, texting and driving specifically has become a larger issue over recent years. The Wisconsin State Patrol recommends that residents put their phones on Do Not Disturb mode when they're behind the wheel. If drivers do need to send a text in an emergency situation and can't wait until they arrive at their destination, they should pull over to a safe location or ask a passenger to send the text for them if possible. The Northland College Board of Trustees has announced the hiring of an appraiser as they seek to sell the school's assets following its permanent closure at the end of the school year. College staff have been conducting an inventory of items they plan to sell, donate, or recycle. That includes things like art, furniture, and equipment, in addition to the campus buildings and real estate they plan to sell. The Board of Trustees announced their decision to permanently close the school in February, nearly 1 year after they had declared financial exigency. The first of four people charged in connection to a Burnett County drug bust in December has been sentenced. According to court documents, 49-year-old Christopher Merrill was sentenced at a hearing on Monday in relation to the drug bust that uncovered methamphetamine, marijuana, and various drug paraphernalia. Merrill also had other outstanding warrants at the time of his arrest. 33-year-old Jacqueline Duncan, 41-year-old Lisa Anderson, and 47-year-old Ronald Anderson, all of Webster, were also criminally charged in relation to the drug bust. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers host the A's. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight, the Brewers host the Athletics. Tonight at AmFam Field, Freddy Peralta on the mound for the Crew. NBA, the Bucks head to Indianapolis to play the Pacers. Tomorrow at noon for game one of their best-of-7 playoff series. Damian Lillard back at practice just a month after being diagnosed with a blood clot, but not active yet. Bobby Portis back from that 25-game suspension.
You know, I've been suspended for a little minute, so it's fun to just practice for real, and get up and down with the guys, so it's fun being in the mix with the guys and trending towards the playoffs, and it's fun to just be on the court with the guys. So it was a great day in the office.
Giannis asked about his advice to younger teammates who've never played in a postseason game.
My first playoff, I got injected. My first playoff, I tackled somebody. See, it doesn't get worse than that.
But, yeah, just anybody that plays for the first time in the playoffs, just do not tackle somebody. You know, that would be my advice.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy and a bit breezy with high temperatures cooler in the mid-40s. Got scattered showers and some rumbles of thunder today with patchy fog, too. As temperatures overnight tonight cool to about the freezing mark, we could be waking up tomorrow morning to some light snow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 44 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabe, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that, where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll talk about the price of oil with Mr. Global and what that means for consumers. Hour number two, we'll talk about organ donation. I hope you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome, everybody.
Hey, Maggie.
How you doing, Matt?
How you doing, Matt?
Nice to see you.
Folks, this is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Friday. Got a great guest to kick it off. And I want to get right into it because this gentleman helps feed our state's hungry folks. And it appears that that work is going to get both more difficult and at the same time, more important as we move forward. His name is Matt King. He is the CEO of the Hunger Task Force. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, Matt. Thank you so much for making time. Matt, can you
hear? Matt, can you hear?
Now I can hear you, Maggie.
Wonderful. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much
for making time. I wanted to get right into what does the Hunger Task Force do? All right, we're going to try this again, folks. If you can hear me, we're going to give Matt a call back and see if we can get him on the lines. I'm going to give Matt the number 855-752-4842. Why don't you just give us a buzz, Matt, and we'll bring him on. As we work to get Matt on the line here, I want to tell you a little bit about the Hunger Task Force of Milwaukee. It is one of the organizations that provides completely free local food bank. It is Wisconsin's number one leading anti-hunger organization. Now, here's what is making their work much harder and, frankly, where you might come in. We have learned that the U.S. Department of Agriculture has halted $500 million in deliveries to food banks. And I just want us to absorb that fact. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has halted 500 million in deliveries. Matt, I think we've got you now. Am I getting that correct? That the federal government has decided, let's not feed hungry people? Do we have Matt on the phones? I don't think we do. I'm going to just keep going here. Let me know when you do if we've got Matt on the phones. Yeah, so that those are the facts as we know them today, that the USDA has halted 500 million in deliveries to food banks nationwide. That particular slug of money came from the USDA's Commodity Credit Corporation, which provides resources to purchase food from American farmers. You know, like family farms in the state of Wisconsin, as well as American ranchers, and sends it to emergency food providers like the Hunger Task Force. Now, these canceled deliveries, the canceled funding here, is going to have a big impact on food security for folks here in Wisconsin. The phase two orders made by the Wisconsin Department of Health and Human Services have been canceled. So, like, the Wisconsin apparatus, because of these funding cuts, have been canceled. I think we've got Matt now. Matt, you there? Can you hear me? Still don't have Matt, so I'm going to keep going. These orders that in the state of Wisconsin, our Department of Health and Human Services was supposed to facilitate in with our segment or our chunk of that $500 million was supposed to start occurring from June until September. In other words, coming up here. It was about $2.2 million worth of healthy foods for the entire state of Wisconsin. So while the Hunger Task Force is located in southeastern Wisconsin, that $2.2 million worth of healthy foods helps feed the entire state. Items that we have now had to cancel include milk, eggs, cheese, bread, and it's really essential, if not existential, for the Hunger Task Force. This means the cancellation of truckloads, literally truckloads of chicken, cheese, milk, eggs, turkey breast, chicken legs, pulled pork, pork chops. This is 302 pounds of food valued at $615,000, which is a little bit more than 25% of the state's total canceled funds, which the Trump administration has said, hey, let's not worry about feeding those hungry people. And that's having real impacts here in the state of Wisconsin. On a personal level, I wanted to share with everybody that I have known a number of classmates of mine growing up in the southeastern Wisconsin area whose families primarily got their food from the Hunger Task Force. I knew a couple of girlfriends of mine in high school. Their families frequented the food pantries run by the Hunger Task Force. And I had a friend in college who was self-financing college on loans and jobs, many jobs. And she went to the Hunger Task Force to get her food while she was attending Marquette University with me. So it is really an absolute essential service that we have here in southeastern Wisconsin and across the state. It's the only food bank located in Milwaukee that doesn't charge for food, for the delivery of food, or for network membership. And they make a special effort to make sure that the food is nutritious, that there is fresh vegetables and fruits. So it is again, incredibly important across the state. I also wanted to share this little personal story with each and every one of you, which doesn't relate to the funding cuts, but many moons ago, I was stuck in New York's LaGuardia Airport. Stick with me here, folks. I'll bring it back around to the Hunger Task Force in just a minute. I was stuck in LaGuardia Airport. There was a bit of weather that came through. Basically, every flight out of LGA was canceled, and it left me and a bunch of other travelers just stuck there. Like, what are we going to do? So I was trying to figure that out, moseyed my way down to the car rental area, got in one of the very long lines, was trying to call on my BlackBerry. That tells you how old I am, using the BlackBerry. Tried to give a phone call into a couple of the rental agencies, but basically all the cars got rented out nearly immediately. And so I looked around. I had to get back to Wisconsin. I was having a pretty important surgery with a surgeon that was really familiar with me. The surgery was the next day. Long story made short, I noticed a man in a Packers sweatshirt, seemed like a nice enough guy, also in the car rental line. He had keys. He was just waiting to get through and pick his vehicle out. And so I just walked up to him and I said, "Are you by any chance heading back to the state of Wisconsin, my friend?" "Oh, yes, I'm from Milwaukee." And he offered to have me drive with him back to Wisconsin. I had never met this guy. Of course, I had to then awkwardly ask, "I need to see your driver's license and take a photo of this, and I need to share your specific information with my friends and family in Wisconsin so I do not get kidnapped." And he chuckled and said, "That's fine." And so I offered to drive some of the way. He refused. He let me go ahead and take a long sleep, got a good night's sleep. He did all of the driving. He, in fact, did not need to go all the way to Milwaukee. He only needed to go to Racine, drove me all the way back to Milwaukee. And before I got out of the car with this wonderful man some 20 years ago now, we got to talking about what we did, and that man worked for the Hunger Task Force in Wisconsin. And so I have a wonderful bit of affinity for this organization. We're going to put the website of the Hunger Task Force in our show notes for today. It's hungertaskforce.org. That's hungertaskforce.org. Go check it out. If you want to get involved, donate some of your time, work at one of their food banks, donate food. You can check all of that out. In the spirit of this Easter and Passover weekend, if we think a little bit more about what we might do to serve our community and our neighbors, friends, and family, I think that would be to the benefit of us all. We're going to get Matt screened, hopefully, for a different time to join us since we couldn't quite get him here this afternoon. And I know he's got a full schedule. We do as well here on the Maggie Dawn Show this afternoon. Of course, as you all know, we've got Ask Maggie at 3 o'clock. Terry Barr, my colleague, is going to join me at 3:30 for what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin. That will be hopefully some good news. I also got to remind all of you that we've got our new lineup starting next Wednesday. We got Pat Kreitlow kicking off Mornings with Pat Kreitlow from 6 to 9 a.m. Matt Nair on air with Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach moved up a little bit earlier. They're going to now be on from 9 to 11. We got Tom Hartman joining us from 11 to 2. Todd's going to be, my good friend Todd Albo's going to be in this slot starting next Wednesday. And then I will be your friend and host. And I don't know, give you some guideposts through the craziness that is American politics these days in the drive time slot starting next Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. But folks, what we're going to dive into next is incredibly important. It is a discussion of what I will call the single most concerning judicial decision I have read, other than the Supreme Court's ruling declaring that, yep, we've got kings here, not just presidents. I'm going to break that down for you. Why I think it's so important and why I think every single American should take a read. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
April is Global Volunteer Month. Wisconsin's volunteers are transforming our communities every day through their acts of service. Wondering how you can give back? Find the perfect volunteer opportunities at volunteerwisconsin.org or contact your local United Way or Volunteer Center. On volunteerwisconsin.org, you can filter opportunities by location, organization, cause, accessibility, and more to find your best fit. VolunteerWisconsin.org is hosted by United Way of Wisconsin and Serve Wisconsin. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
When we got a home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to give it another try this afternoon. I hope you're having a good Friday wherever you are. The hail. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if it was as intense where you are as it was for me. I was very thankful to have my car in a garage as some pretty significant hail came down. I hope you all are safe out there. And now it's like 70 degrees outside in southeastern Wisconsin. So as per usual, if you don't like the weather in Wisconsin, wait 5 minutes. It will change. Guys, I can hear you on the mics. So what I wanted to get to this afternoon is a discussion of the decision by J. Harvey Wilkinson, who is the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals judge that issued a decision late yesterday afternoon in the Kilmer Abrego Garcia case. And the judge issued the decision because the White House had requested that the appeals court prevent the trial court judge from conducting discovery regarding the administration's efforts to, or lack thereof, comply with the Supreme Court's ruling that said that Mr. Garcia should get the benefit of the facilitation of his return from El Salvador, that the administration needs to facilitate his return. And the White House is basically, and the administration have basically done nothing. They say they're facilitating, but that facilitating can basically mean doing nothing. That's the root of their argument. And earlier today, Donald Trump, with RFK Jr. standing next to him and Dr. Oz, announced that Mr. Garcia is not coming back. Not coming back. I'm going to ask each and every one of you out there, how in the heck is that complying with the Supreme Court's order? I don't understand. And we're going to post in our show notes from today a link to the merely 7-page order that was issued by Judge Wilkinson on the Fourth Circuit that said, no, we're not going to prevent the district court from doing their job. And their job is to ensure that you, the administration, is following the Supreme Court order. We're not going to get involved in that. And you need to do what the district court judge is saying. So I spent some time, I have read this decision about 4 times now. And what I did for each and every one of you is group together what I think are the 3 predominantly major chunks of this decision. And I'm going to share those with you because I think every American needs to understand what Judge Wilkinson just told the Trump administration. And given that Donald Trump in the White House today said Mr. Garcia is not coming back, I think the president just committed contempt of court. And one of the most important things to note here is that Judge Harvey Wilkinson is one of the most conservative Republican judges sitting on the federal bench today. One of the most conservative Republicans sitting in the federal court system today. He was appointed by Ronald Reagan. George W. Bush considered promoting him, elevating him to the Supreme Court, though he didn't end up going in that direction. This man is 80 years old. And just like Judge Boasberg, who was a roommate of Judge Kavanaugh, who is, by every account, one of an extraordinarily conservative, not just jurist, but a conservative, a Federalist Society guy, a Republican. The fact that it is these judges, these Republicans, these very, very, very conservative judges that are now sounding the alarm and saying unequivocally that what the administration is doing is not just illegal, not just unconstitutional, but fundamentally incompatible with American values. That's what Judge Wilkinson, that's what Judge Boasberg are saying. Now, here's a little background on Judge Wilkinson, and then we'll take care of some business, and then I want to get into the decision itself. He attended the University of Virginia. He served 2 years in the Army in the height of the Vietnam War. After a year of law school, he took a break, ran for Congress as a Republican, lost the race, and then finished law school. He was a clerk to Supreme Court Justice Powell. He worked as a law professor. And he served in top positions in the Justice Department. This man has spent more than 40 years on the appeals court. And no one can question his credentials as a Republican and as a conservative. So when we come back, I'm going to give you the 3 blocks, the 3 building blocks of this very short decision that Judge Wilkinson issued yesterday. And I'm going to tell you why I think the language is compelling and ultimately indisputably clear that we are approaching the abyss. Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're going to want to keep it locked. We'll be right back here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A recent report has come out showing the trends within the fast food industry. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and coming up next, we will talk with Cody Koster, a dairy analyst and broker with Everag, to see what is happening within that fast food industry and what that means for agriculture.
Weeds don't know what's coming when you've got the right post-emergence adjuvants. With Last Chance Pro and Taprin from CHS, supercharge your herbicides, helping them attack resistant weeds more effectively. Last Chance Pro improves absorption, ensuring herbicides penetrate deep for better impact, while Taprin spreads and activates herbicides evenly, keeping your fields cleaner for longer. When your herbicides work smarter, you spend less time fighting weeds and more time growing healthy crops. Ask your local retailer about Last Chance Pro and Taprin today, or visit chsagronomy.com.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a listen in with Cody Koster to see what is happening within the fast food industry.
Quarter one earnings from like McDonald's, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, fast food restaurants that use a lot of dairy products, especially the barrel for their cheese on burgers and such, was down. It was down significantly. Different companies reported 6 to 8. The highest I saw was 10% year over year. But I think because the tariffs going on, a lot more people are holding monies in their pocket, maybe not going out to eat as much. If they went out 3 times a week, I've heard some people try to cut that back to 1 just because they're trying to save the money in case we go into a recession, which is kind of everyone's general fear when these tariffs originally were put on a few weeks ago.
Koster says that with fast food restaurants being a huge supporter of U.S. agriculture, this could come to hurt producers in the end. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at some agriculture news right after this.
Did you know soybean diseases like white mold and sudden death syndrome can survive in your soil even after rotating crops? Prevention of these diseases is a constant battle, and yield loss from an infection can be devastating. The right management plan makes all the difference. Keep your beans safe this spring with Heads Up Seed Treatment. Heads Up guards your seed from both white mold and SDS. Stay protected and profitable by asking your seed dealer for Heads Up. Learn more at headsupst.com.
I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at some agriculture news. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is looking for nominations of producers for the Wisconsin Cranberry Board. These nominations must be in by May 30th. In other news, the Wisconsin Custom Operator Survey is going through some changes. It will now be directly ran through the University of Wisconsin-Madison Division of Extension. With the look at your agriculture news from the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy and a bit breezy with high temperatures cooler in the mid-40s. Got scattered showers and some rumbles of thunder today with patchy fog, too. As temperatures overnight tonight cool to about the freezing mark, we could be waking up tomorrow morning to some light snow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 44 degrees.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
More than 600 international students and recent grads have had their visas revoked. Here's people that are here 100% legally. We've seen the ICE checklist. Do you wear a Chicago Bulls hoodie? Do you have a tattoo? Check, check, gone. Again, this is about due process and following the Constitution. And if we don't have that, then none of us are safe.
The Todd Albaugh Show, moving soon to its new time. Weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and on the app. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Emerson Lehman, host of the WBAY Morning Show here in Green Bay, into the studio for a pickleball breakdown. And it's a bar band Friday night as Terry Barr drops by with new music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a brand new lineup coming for you next Wednesday. You're going to want to check that out. Really excited to be moving to the drive time slot. You'll be able to find me from 4 to 6 p.m. starting next Wednesday, Monday, Tuesday, regular schedule. You'll find me from 2 to 4 p.m. across the Civic Media Talk Radio Network. We're talking about the decision rendered yesterday by Republican conservative jurist Harvey Wilkinson. He has criticized Roe v. Wade. He's criticized courts' intervention in matters where they overrode laws adopted by legislatures. He has advocated for the executive branches, the president's authority, to capture, quote, capture those who take up arms against the United States, writing that following the September 11th attacks. If you doubt my statement that this guy is a Republican, capital R, frankly, capital all the way, all caps, Republican, take 5 minutes and Google him. That's who we got in this case. It is that judge that wrote the decision issued yesterday that said, no, Mr. Trump and the Trump administration, you're not going to be able to stop a district court judge from asking you to produce facts, documents, and sit for depositions to show what you're doing to comply with the Supreme Court's unequivocally clear order that you have to facilitate the return of Abrego Garcia because you violated his constitutional right to due process. So I'm going to save what I think is the meatiest, the most important portion of that decision for last. But I want to actually start with the fact that Judge Wilkinson went so far in the decision, which I have never seen in another written appeals court decision, to address the criticisms being leveled against the courts, Judge Innes in this case, Judge Boasberg, depending on who you're talking to, and sort of this moment that we find ourselves in. So here's what he had to say. I don't like reading, but when someone has written something that is more persuasive than what my summary could possibly be, I'm just going to read the original, what he wrote. So again, this is yesterday's decision. A Republican, very conservative judge telling the Trump administration, no, you're going to comply with the lower court's directions and discovery to find out what you're doing to facilitate the return of Mr. Abrego Garcia. Wrote this: the government is obviously frustrated and displeased with the rulings of the court. Let one thing be clear. Court rulings are not above criticism. Criticism keeps us on our toes and helps us do a better job. Court rulings can overstep. And remember what I just told you about Roe v. Wade and some of his other decisions? He has criticized throughout his career judicial overreach, activist judging, right? This is the guy that has always opposed that. That's why the fact that it's him saying this is so important, okay? So I'm going to return to what he said. Court rulings can overstep, and they can further intrude upon the prerogatives of other branches. Courts thus speak with the knowledge of their imperfections, but also with a sense that they will instill a fidelity to law that would sorely be missed in their absence. So, yeah, the courts can screw up. But that doesn't mean that they are not an essential component of our democracy. He continues, energy in the executive is much to be respected. Energy in the executive is just it's the Federalist term that encompasses the extraordinary powers that are vested by our Constitution in the presidency and in the executive branch of government and the ability for the executive branch to move quickly, to respond to things. That's the energy in the executive. So he says, the energy in the executive is much to be respected. It can rescue government from its lassitude and recalibrate imbalances too long left unexamined. The knowledge that executive energy is a perishable quality understandably breeds impatience with the courts. So he's saying, yep, courts are slow. The executive branch is fast. So, yep, you can get frustrated. This happens. Courts, in turn, he continues, are frequently attuned to caution and are often uneasy with the executive branch's breakneck pace. And the differences do not end there. The executive is inherently focused upon ends. The judiciary, much more so, upon means. What he's saying is the executive branch is often just focused on result. The judiciary often has to focus and remind us that the process to get to that result, whatever it may be, is in a democracy just as important as the result itself. He continues, ends are bestowed on the executive by electoral outcomes. The means are entrusted to all of government, but most especially to the judiciary by the Constitution itself. What he just said there is like the real smart guy way of saying what you have heard me express, and I think I did so yesterday on this very show, and that is courts often protect those that didn't happen to vote for the current executive branch leader. The courts protect minorities, and I don't mean that in any racial sense, though it can include that, but those who are in a minority from the tyranny, the overreach of the majority, as expressed through election outcomes. The basic differences, he continues, between the branches mandate a serious effort at mutual respect. The respect that courts must accord the executive must be reciprocated by the executive's respect for the courts. Too often today, this has not been the case, as calls for the impeachment of judges for decisions the executive disfavors and exhortations to disregard court orders sadly illustrate. That's pretty extraordinary. He doesn't name the president, but the president's been calling for the impeachment of Judge Boasberg, which got a rebuke from Chief Justice John Roberts. But that's what he's talking about here. He's expressing the very idea that we have three branches of government and that our Constitution requires respect of each branch for the others. And what Trump has been doing is not, in that sense, in accord with America's history or constitutional traditions. So that's chunk one. That's the chunk that's about three separate but equal branches of government. Chunk two is the technicalities surrounding the interpretation of the word facilitate. Don't groan. It's actually kind of interesting. Okay. By the way, the judge starts the opinion out by calling Judge Innes, the district court judge, who's going to require the production of documents and maybe even require administration officials to sit in a deposition, swear an oath to tell the truth and nothing but under the penalty of perjury, calls Judge Innes a fine district judge. You never see that either. So here's the technical part. The government's argument is that basically the administration can stand by and do nothing. and that satisfies the Supreme Court's requirement that they facilitate his return. Well, Judge Wilkinson ain't having that. Here's what he says. The Supreme Court's decision does not allow the government to do nothing. Hello? We need a judge to write that? But he had to write that. The Supreme Court's decision does not allow the administration to do nothing. It requires the government to facilitate Mr. Garcia's release from custody in El Salvador and to ensure that his case is handled as it would have been had he not been improperly sent to El Salvador. Facilitate is an active verb. It requires steps to be taken, as the Supreme Court has made perfectly clear. You don't get to do nothing. That's what they're doing. Donald Trump saying today he's not coming back. How is that not open defiance of the Supreme Court? The plain and active meaning of the word cannot be diluted by its constriction, as the government would have it, to a narrow term of art. We are not bound in this context by a definition crafted by an administrative agency and contained in a mere policy directive. You don't get to read the word into oblivion. You don't get to read it into a nullity. Facilitate. Okay, well, that means nothing now, so we'll do nothing. He's saying you can't do that. That's stupid. Thus, the government's argument that all it must do is, quote, remove any domestic barriers to Mr. Garcia's return is not well taken in light of the Supreme Court's command that the government facilitate his release from custody in El Salvador. Facilitation does not permit the administration to mistakenly deport someone to one of a foreign country's prisons in violation of both due process and a prior court order, and then to refuse to do anything to rectify that wrong in defiance of another court order. That's ridiculous. The judge writes, facilitation does not sanction the abrogation of habeas corpus through the transfer of custody to a foreign detention center. Allowing this would, quote, facilitate foreign detention more than it would domestic return. It would reduce the rule of law to lawlessness and tarnish the very values for which Americans of diverse views and persuasions have always stood. Let's read that last one again. He's saying that the administration's arguments about Mr. Garcia would reduce the rule of law to lawlessness and tarnish American values. That's what he's saying. So that's the second big chunk. And what I'm going to share with you when we return is what I think are the most alarming, clear, unequivocal calls to Americans of all political backgrounds, all faiths, all beliefs, to pay attention to what's happening now. It is the language that Judge Wilkinson, a man who does not engage in judicial activism, that has a very healthy, well-documented 40-year career of respecting the power of the executive branch, a conservative, a Republican. The words of Judge Wilkinson yesterday that tells America we are looking into the abyss. And what he asks us to do as Americans, not directly because he can't do that in a judicial order, but what he is by implication asking each and every one of us to do is to care about our most basic and most closely held values as Americans, if not as a country that has always believed in the innate dignity of every human being. I'm going to share what I consider to be some of the most powerful words written in modern American jurisprudence when we return. My name's Maggie Dawn, everybody. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. Your timing, good fellow. As Mike, what you just said was an ad lib to De Niro. He's like security, and you're like, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And wow. He said, make sure you don't call it ad libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters talking about the SAVE Act.
The kind of voter fraud that this SAVE Act is targeting would be non-citizen voter fraud.
There is no evidence of this. Zero.
Non-citizens, no. They're not eligible to vote.
There is no reason to increase these restrictions on voting except to stop people who might not vote for them.
Matt Nair on air. Moving soon to its new time. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Been covering some heavy stuff in the last few segments on this show. We are going to lighten it up at the top of the hour. I've been focused on Judge Wilkinson's decision yesterday that basically told the Trump administration to go kick rocks and that they need to actually prove that they are complying with the Supreme Court's directive that they facilitate the return to the United States of Mr. Kilmar Abrego Garcia. And I've moved on to what I basically literally got a scissors out and cut up the 7-page decision. By the way, you can read it yourself, that 7-page decision. The link to that document will be in our show notes for today. You can find those at civicmedia.us/shows. I took a scissors to it and I was like, what's actually going on here? And what I shared with you is the first two chunks, which were Judge Wilkinson addressing the political debate, Donald Trump attacking the courts and attacking particular judges. The next one addressed and dismantled as stupid the government's argument that the word facilitate means that they can just do nothing and that counts, that that's good. Nope, that doesn't. But the real action in the decision is what I'm about to share with you. He says it better than I could, so with no further ado. Judge Harvey Wilkinson writing this yesterday, a Republican, a conservative, a veteran, an appointee of Ronald Reagan, said this. The government asserts that Mr. Garcia is a terrorist and a member of MS-13. Perhaps, but perhaps not. Regardless, he is entitled to due process. If the government is confident in its position, it should be assured that position will, of course, prevail in proceedings to deport Mr. Garcia. They can prove those things. They can show by a preponderance of the evidence that these things are true and deport him legally. But the government has conceded that Mr. Garcia was wrongly deported. Why then should it not make what was wrong right? It is difficult in some cases to get to the very heart of the matter. But in this case, it is not hard at all. The government is asserting a right to stash away residents of this country in foreign prisons without the semblance of due process that is the foundation of our constitutional order. Again, something I have been saying to you repeatedly throughout the last 2 to 3 weeks. Further, the government claims in essence that because it has rid itself of custody, that there is nothing that can be done. This should be shocking not only to judges, but to the intuitive sense of liberty that Americans far removed from courthouses still hold dear. That is his call to you and I and to you, CJ, who I just saw on my caller list. That is Judge Wilkinson, a fellow Republican, a fellow conservative, saying to you, all of the conservatives listening right now, that what the Trump administration is doing is offensive to our constitutional order, to our most basic, most closely held American values. Allowing the government to do nothing and wash its hands of Mr. Garcia would facilitate foreign detention more than it would facilitate domestic return. It would reduce the rule of law to lawlessness and tarnish the very values for which Americans of diverse views and persuasions have always stood. The executive, the president, possesses enormous powers to prosecute and to deport, but with powers come restraints. If today the executive claims the right to deport without due process in disregard of court orders, what assurance will there be tomorrow that it will not deport American citizens and then disclaim responsibility to bring them home? And the judge cites to Fox News and ABC News coverage of the president saying that he hopes to deport American citizens, the homegrowns, next. And what assurance shall there be that the executive will not train its broad discretionary powers upon its political enemies? The threat, if not even the actuality, would always be present, and the executive's obligation to take care that the laws be faithfully executed would lose its meaning. Now, the branches come too close to grinding irrevocably against one another in a conflict that promises to diminish both. This is a losing proposition all around. The judiciary will lose much from the constant intimations of its illegitimacy, to which by dint of custom and detachment we can only sparingly reply. The executive will lose much from a public perception of its lawlessness and all of its attendant contagions. It is all too possible to see in this case an incipient crisis, but it may present opportunity as well. We yet cling to the hope that it is not naive to believe our good brethren in the executive branch perceive the rule of law as vital to the American ethos. This case presents their unique chance, Donald Trump's unique chance, to vindicate that value and to summon the best that is within us while there is still time. What is the best within you? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. We'll be back after the top of the hour.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll review the weekend news, and Jimmy Cuska, Civic Media Sports Director, will be here to talk about changes coming to the WIAA. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabe, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. High-level talks taking place in Europe on a deal to end the Russia-Ukraine war. Secretary of State Marco Rubio saying the U.S. could step back if progress isn't made.
This was surprisingly blunt from Marco Rubio. The Secretary of State has been in Paris for meetings with European leaders about a deal to stop the war in Ukraine. He told reporters, we need to determine very quickly now, and I'm talking about in a matter of days, whether or not this is doable. He said, if it's not going to happen, then, quote, we are just going to move on.
ABC's James Longman. A federal judge blocked the Trump administration from carrying out mass firings at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. More than 1,400 employees were set to be laid off tonight. In New York, a judge denied a request by rapper Sean Combs to delay his criminal sex trafficking trial for 2 months to prepare. It's set to begin next month. In what's become a tradition in suburban Detroit, a helicopter dropped marshmallow treats for kids. They turn them in for prizes. This is ABC News.